Good morning, everyone. I trust you. Hi. I trust you can hear me. Good, good, good. welcome to Awakening Together Sunday morning gathering. Welcome from beautiful, sunny Pueblo, Colorado. My new home. What we'll do first is greet each other while we play our opening song. And Lynn, I will turn the mic over to you so you can do that for us.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Memory, dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Chidananda, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Satchidananda.
Thank you, Lynn. Thanks, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Let me read you our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I'll also read you our third core value, which is most on point for the talk this morning. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Thanks for posting those, Ken. And now I will read to you the announcements. Okay, are you interested in the Awakening Together Fall Pilgrimage to Italy? If so, please register by June 20th. June 20th. Originally, the last day to register was in August. However, our travel agent has notified us that after June 20th, People can only register on a space available basis. That's because the hotels that we will use in Rome and Assisi are currently holding space for us at a reduced rate. We have to give up the reduced rate hold on unused hotel rooms on June 22nd. Those rooms then become available to the public. At that point, anyone who wants to register for the Italy trip will have to request registration and will only be able to register if there is a room available. So again, the last day for open registration is June the 20th. For information about our Italy pilgrimage, please go to awakening-together.org and look under Retreats and Classes, Retreats. And next, join Regina for a 3-day retreat in Portland, Oregon from July 20th through the 22nd. The retreat will be held at Lewis and Clark College, and accommodations are available on campus. You have the option of registering for Friday only, for Friday and Saturday only, or for the full retreat. We anticipate that local course groups will attend this retreat. If that is the case, Regina will use the last section of the ACIM workbook to help participants see that the course is teaching a very simple, natural fact, which is exactly why it is called truth. If you are in gentle healing, this will be the perfect opportunity to review core teachings from the last part of year one. For full details on the Portland, Oregon retreat, visit awakening-together.org and look for the Oregon retreat under Retreats and Classes, Retreats. The Moorestown, New Jersey Center for Conscious Living is sponsoring Regina for a minister's rejuvenation retreat in Bangor, Pennsylvania from June 13th through the 16th. This retreat is open to all Awakening Together ministers and Sirius MPP students. Regina will be joined by musician Lou Dowdy. There will also be time to enjoy the lovely grounds at the Kirkridge Retreat Center. If you are a minister or a Sirius MPP student, you can learn more about this retreat at newthoughtccl.org under the events menu. Okay. And that's it for the announcements. Now we'll have an opening song to kind of switch gears here and settle in. All right, Lynn, please take the mic.
Thank you. your sails in faith and trust that you will arrive. Let go.
Thank you, Lynn. Perfect song. And now we'll take a moment for prayer. Holy Spirit, I want to give my thanks for the opportunity to learn to let go into the unknown, into the mystery. I would ask this morning that you help me to see what I need to see, to say what I need to say, and to allow all things to be exactly as they are. Such gratitude. Thank you. It's time now for our reading, and Reverend Regina Dawn Akers has agreed to do the reading this morning. And Regina, I will turn the mic over to you.
Good morning, everyone. This is a reading, it's an excerpt from The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. When things start to fall apart outside, your psyche goes into turmoil, and you have to struggle to hold your inner world together. But what exactly are you trying to hold on to? The only things in there are your thoughts, emotions, and movements of energy, none of which are solid. They are like clouds, simply coming and going through the vast inner space. But you keep holding on to them, as though consistency can substitute for stability. The Buddhists have a term for this: clinging. In the end, clinging is what the psyche is all about. Consciousness is a dynamic field of awareness that has the ability to either narrowly focus or broadly expand. When consciousness concentrates narrowly enough, it loses its broader sense of self. It no longer experiences itself as a field of pure consciousness. It begins to relate itself more to the objects it's focused upon. You literally get lost in the experience, Your sense of self is determined by where you are focusing your consciousness. The result of clinging is that selective thoughts and emotions stay in one place long enough to become the building blocks of the psyche. Clinging is one of the most primal acts, because some objects remain in the consciousness while others pass through. Your sense of awareness relates more to them. You use them as fixed points to create a sense of orientation, relationship, and security in the midst of constant interchange. And this need for orientation extends to the outside world. Although you are clinging to inner objects, you use them to orient and relate yourself to the multitude of physical objects that come in through your senses. You then create thoughts that tie all the objects together, and you cling to the entire structure. You actually end up relating so strongly to this inner structure that you build your entire sense of self around it. Because you cling to it, it stays fixed. And because it stays fixed, you relate to it above all else. This is the birth of the psyche. In the midst of the expanse of empty mind, by clinging to passing thought objects, you make an island of apparent solidity. Once you have a thought that stays, you can rest your head on it. Then, as you cling to more and more thoughts, you build an inner structure for consciousness to focus on. The more consciousness narrows its focus onto this mental structure, the greater the tendency to utilize it to define the concept of self. Clinging creates the bricks and mortar with which we build a conceptual self. In the midst of vast inner space, using nothing but the vapor of thoughts, you created a structure of apparent solidity to rest upon. Who are you that is lost and trying to build a concept of yourself in order to be found? This question represents the essence of spirituality. You will never find yourself in what you have built to define yourself. You are the one who's doing the building. You are the one who was lost, scared, and confused because you focused your awareness away from your awareness of true self. Because you have this model of who you are, it is easier to know how to act, how to make decisions, and how to relate to the outside world. If you dare to look, you will see that you live your entire life based on the model you built around yourself. Basically, you attempt to create a sense of stability and steadiness inside. This generates a false but welcomed sense of security. It all comes down to understanding why we are clinging to our self-concept. If you stop clinging, you will see why the tendency to cling was there. If you let go of your facade and don't try to make a new one, your thoughts and emotions will become unanchored and begin passing through you. It will be a very scary experience. You will feel panic deep inside, and you will be unable to get your bearings. This is what people feel when something very important outside does not fit their inner model. The facade ceases to work and begins to crumble. When it can no longer protect you, you experience great fear and panic. However, you'll find that if you're willing to face that sense of panic, there is a way to get past it. You can go further back into the consciousness that is experiencing it, and the panic will stop. Then there will be great peace, like nothing you've ever felt. This journey is one of passing through exactly where you have been struggling not to go. As you pass through that state of turmoil, the consciousness itself is your only repose. You will just be aware that tremendous changes are taking place. You will be aware that there is no solidity, and you will become comfortable with that. You will be aware that each moment of each day is unfolding, and you neither have control nor crave it. You have no concepts, no hopes, no dreams, no beliefs, and no security. You are no longer building mental models of what's going on, but life is going on anyway. You are perfectly comfortable just being aware of it. Here comes this moment, then the next moment, and then the next. But that's really what has always happened. Moment after moment has been passing before your consciousness. The difference is that now you see it happening. You see that your emotions and your mind are reacting to these moments that are coming through, and you are doing nothing to stop it. You're doing nothing to control it. You're just letting life unfold, both outside and inside of you. If you take this journey, you will get to the state in which you see exactly how the unfolding moments bring up a sense of fear. From this place of clarity, you will be able to experience the powerful tendency to protect yourself. This tendency exists because you truly have no control, and that is not comfortable to you. But if you really want to break through, you have to be willing to just watch the fear without protecting yourself from it. You must be willing to see that this need to protect yourself is where the entire personality comes from. This is all because we have attempted to build solidity where there is none. Now we have to fight to keep it together. You were told not to build your house upon sand. Well, this is the ultimate sand. It's a constant struggle to keep it together. What it means to live spiritually is not to participate in this struggle. It means that the events that happen in the moment belong to the moment. They don't belong to you. They have nothing to do with you. You must stop defining yourself in relationship to them and just let them come and go. You'll get to the point where you like this because you don't want to keep your model. You'll define this as good because you are no longer willing to put any energy into building and solidifying your facade. Instead, you will actually permit the things that disturb your model to act as the dynamite to break it up and free you. You must learn to be comfortable with psychological disturbance. Try to find the part of you that is capable of noticing that your mind is hyperactive and that your heart is heating up. That part is your way out. The only way to enter freedom is through the one who watches, the true self. The true self simply notices that the mind and emotions are unraveling and that nothing is struggling to hold them together. The way out is through awareness. Stop defining the disturbed mind as a negative experience. Just see if you can relax behind it. When your mind is disturbed, don't ask, "What do I do about this?" Instead, ask, "Who am I that notices this?" At this point, the journey becomes very quick. You will go through the part of you that has always been scared to death, and you'll see how that part has always struggled to hold it all together. If you don't feed that part, if you just keep letting go and don't let it cling, eventually you will fall behind the false solidity. This is not something you do. It is something that happens to you. You will reach a point where it will all open up behind you. You are used to being aware of things in front of you. You will now become aware of a universe behind your seat of consciousness. Back behind, there is a whole universe. You're just not looking that way. If you're willing to let go, you'll fall back, and it will open into an ocean of energy. You will become filled with light. You'll become filled with a light that has no darkness, with a peace that passeth all understanding. You will then walk through every moment of your daily life with the flow of this inner force sustaining you, feeding you, and guiding you from deep within. There is no need for false solidity when you are at peace with the universal expanse of your true being.
Thank you, Regina, for that lovely reading. Some habits are hard to let go. That was nearly the entire chapter. Well, I can tell you that I'm not quite sure what I want to say to you this morning. What chapter was that? Oh, let me see. Somebody's asking which chapter. I should be able to find it. I marked it here. Oh, 1 second. I'm finding it. Letting Go of False Solidity is the name of the chapter. It's chapter 14 from Michael Singer's Untethered Soul. You're welcome. So what I really want to do is try and describe what appears to be happening now. I thought about saying with me, with Jacqueline Eckert, but, but that's actually what I'm learning not to do, is not to relate these happenings, these circumstances to the person. But this is what's happening now. I gave the title Free Falling, Learning to Let Go into the Unknown. And I can tell you that with this move, and as most of you know, I've moved from Clarksville, Indiana to Pueblo, Colorado. And I have moved by myself. My husband decided not to come. So my experience has been really this is free falling. It's like all the foundations have been pulled out from under me. I originally thought that I would talk about trust. What is trust? And really, this letting go into the unknown and trust are the same thing. This idea of free falling and being comfortable with free falling, being comfortable without a foundation, that's trust. And I'm learning to be comfortable without a foundation. I looked at a couple, in preparation for the talk, I looked at a couple of Jan Fraser teachings. She is, I love her writings. They're available on her website, but she is so poetic. It's just so sweet the way that that she describes things. But it, she has a teaching called Rock, Sand, and Air. And she begins that teaching with a quote from Madeline L'Engle that says, "It's a good thing to have all the props pulled out from under us occasionally. It gives us some sense of what is rock under our feet and what is sand." She says there is surely something to what Madeline L'Engle says, how when devastation comes along in a life, which it will, and probably more than once, it does have a way of separating the truly mattering things from overemphasized trivia. A radical undermining makes vivid the things with enduring authenticity, not subject to whim or even to a major tremor. Then again, if we're fortunate indeed, maybe what we're left with in the wake of catastrophe is the sudden bodied knowing that there is in fact nothing under our feet and never actually was, the discovery of being in free fall constantly. Yeah, so that's that idea of free falling is anyway, where the where the name of the talk comes from. And that's how this passage from Michael Singer starts. When things start to fall apart outside, your psyche goes into turmoil and you have to struggle to hold your inner world together. And it's he talks about the discovery of that really there is nothing solid. There is, in fact, nothing under our feet. And, you know, I have long thought about how interesting it is that a number of people, many people that I meet on the spiritual path, are people who have gone through some, you know, foundation shaking, some life tragedy. And I guess it's no surprise because, you know, these are the people who have been forced to let go of this false sense of solidity, this foundation that they've built for themselves. I know that, you know, I interviewed Susie Wicks, a few months ago, and she talked about having had that experience with the death of her husband. Who committed suicide, and I talked about how I had had a similar experience many, many, many years ago when my husband committed suicide, and how and I contrasted it with her experience and how she had really used that to that opportunity, and this is what we're talking about today, is seizing this opportunity instead of building a new foundation to be foundationless. And I didn't use that opportunity for at that time. You know, I really consciously even set about creating a new sense of self, a new, I don't know, building Jacqueline from the ground up. In fact, even before that time, I was even referred to as Jackie. It was at that time that I decided I would be Jacqueline. And I have experienced that shaking of the foundations at other periods in my life. And I think that maybe you guys can relate to this. I was trying this morning to think, you know, what were those specific times? And I think maybe they were times when I had a major upset with my son. There was a time or two when he had attempted suicide, and you know, when you get that kind of news, something just foundation shaking. The way I felt is that I had something and I didn't know where to put it. It's like a really, and I remember describing it at the time, and it, there's been more than once that this has occurred for me. It's like you're carrying this new thing around in your hands and there's nowhere to put it down. If you look at that, you can see how this is what we're always doing. We're always judging and sorting and trying to fit things within our model. And why are we doing this? We're doing this because this model is this foundation, is this sense of solidity that we try to create to make ourselves feel safe in this world. And so when something like that comes along, it's like, okay, you know, it's like playing Jenga, right? Or the reverse of that. Okay, where can I fit this to make this model, you know, cohesive, to make it strong? And with something really earth-shattering, there's no way to do that. There's nowhere that this particular piece fits in snugly into that foundation that we've built. As Michael Singer says, because we've made this model of who we are, you know, it is easier to know how to act, how to make decisions, how to relate to the outside world. The song that Lynn played this morning was perfect, Let Go of the Shore. there was something in there about, she says, when I look back, I have to laugh at, you know, that I was trying to build this solid foundation instead of just letting go into the mystery, letting go into the truth of who we are. Today's thought of awakening, I want to look at that. It says, let go of words today. Let go of definitions. Let go of judgments. You do this by being alert to each one, by being slow and purposeful within the mind, and then by meeting each thought of form with mere observation. Make no judgment. Give no conclusion. Merely observe. And you know, it's funny, we don't think about judgments that way. We don't normally think about judgments as, you know, we think about judgments as, oh, I can't believe she's wearing that, right? Or, or I would never do that. Or, I can't believe that this is occurring. You know, we think about judgments as something else. We don't normally think about judgments as this, give no conclusion. And this is talking about. It's that idea of self-referencing. Something happens and we fit that something into our model. You know, something occurs and we add the, and therefore this means that I should, or that I am, or that I will, right? And so we fit it into the model. We don't let it free fall. We don't let ourselves free fall. We don't let it pass through us. We securely, you know, chink it into that thing that we're building. That's the judgment, you know. How does this affect me? What does this mean about me? What does this mean about my relationship to the world? Michael Singer says, if you let go of your facade, if you let go of the model making, right, and don't try to make a new one, your thoughts and emotions will become unanchored and begin passing through you. He says it will be a very scary experience, and I can tell you, yeah, you bet it is. You bet it is. And he says you will feel panic deep inside and you will be unable to get your bearings. Yeah, that's that. I have this thing that no place to put it down. And that's been my experience in these past few weeks. Yeah, that sense of, I've been calling it anxiety. I think panic's probably a better word. Like, you know, like the ground beneath my feet is just not quite solid. And yeah, I told Regina, I said, I kind of feel like I'm going through the motions, and I'm like, that sounds really weird. You know, that, what does that mean? I have spoken to some other folks about, you know, the fact that I just don't feel like myself. Everything feels surreal. In fact, I said something like that to my sister Connie, and she said, you know, that will fade. You know, you'll begin to feel, well, you know, and love you dearly, Connie, and, you know, and she's trying to give me solace, right? But the thing is I don't want to feel like myself again. I don't want that sense of, I don't want that false sense of solidity. I don't want to feel like myself. I want to let go into the mystery. I want to be undone by the changes that are occurring. Undone and not rebuilt. You know, I want to make the choice that I didn't make years ago, when I had the opportunity to not build a self. You know, at that time I didn't realize that there was an option to live without a self. What does that even mean, right? Several folks have commented on my move. They've talked about the courage that it took to make this move, and that has struck me as kind of funny. It's like, what is, gee, courage, what does that mean? And I realized in thinking about it that they too have a sense that this model that we've built for ourselves, that this is a false sense of solidity, right? False sense of security. And so the courage is in being willing to let go of the model, to being willing to let everything be shaken up. I listened to an excellent talk by Jack O'Keefe when I was looking at the idea of trust. And her talk is called Trust and Spirituality. Trust and Spirituality. It is on YouTube. It's a fabulous talk. You should listen to it. But she talks about being willing to have no story. And she says it's a radical shift, and it is. It's this non-model building, right? Non-foundation building. She says, in the beginning, your brain is making a story, but you have got to stop supporting it by making it the events, the thoughts, the events, the experiences, by making them something that happened to you. And again, I saw that really as not adding the and therefore, right? And not trying to contextualize it. So, you know, I got out here, I set up the house and where I'm setting it up, and I put my stereo on the kitchen counter, which was fun. You know, I got a little bookshelf stereo, and my husband never really wanted, you know, the music going, and so there, you know, so I began to experience some freedom, began to experience myself outside of the limits that I had allowed myself to live in, you know, that I had adopted in adapting to that relationship. One of them was to play the stereo, right? And it was fun. But I put on a CD that I hadn't listened to for a while. It's the Moody Blues, the Best of the Moody Blues. And my heart just expanded. It was like, oh my goodness. Because that sense of limitlessness and potentiality was just felt renewed in me. And that's the you know, the free fall. It feels like, you know, like you can see your fingernails running down the crevices of the canyon that you've fallen into. But that's the ego's perspective, right? That's the, oh my God, the slowing away perspective. The true perspective is that it's the hopefulness without hope for anything in particular. You know, Michael Singer, let's see, what did he say about that? And it sounds quite radical. You have no concepts, no hopes, no dreams, no beliefs, and no security. You are no longer building mental models of what's going on. You know, it's that unanchored hope. It's that unanchored expectancy, but not expectancy for an object, not expectancy for a result. I'm not sitting here today looking at, gee, this could mean tomorrow I might achieve this thing. I might gain something that I don't have today. It's a welcome to the potentiality of all things. And Michael Singer says, if you really want to break through, you have to be willing to just watch the fear without protecting yourself from it. He finishes the article by, or somewhere near the end here, let's see, he says, stop defining the disturbed mind as a negative experience. Just see if you can relax behind it. When your mind is disturbed, don't ask, what do I do about this? Instead, ask, who am I that notices this? And I think this is the crux of no longer building that mental model. It's being content to walk around with this thing in your hands without needing to put it down, right? In fact, you don't have it in your hands at all. It's the willingness not to grasp at things, not to attempt to make sense of things. It's a willingness to sit with the lack of judgment, the lack of conclusion. To watch the impulse to build a model of yourself in the world and yet not to do it, not to participate in it. And I got to tell you that, you know, my mind's been screaming about a lot of things since I've gotten here. Well, and on the trip and, you know, in the weeks leading up to it. But this has been a real gift because there's no model to fit any of this into. So when I ask, what do I do about this? The answer is, hell, I don't know, which is good. That's a great answer. Because the truth is, I never could do anything about it. You know, that's that idea of control. Like, I can make my world make sense. Well, yeah, until it doesn't, until something comes in that you don't know where to put. You know, so this has kind of been a forced opportunity to ask, who am I that notices the tendency to want to make sense of the world? Who am I that's noticing this, mind? Just be with that one, to be in and with the true self. Michael Singer says, the self simply notices that the mind and emotions are unraveling and that nothing is struggling to hold them together. And again, I've had the forced opportunity because I haven't been, I want to say because I haven't been able to pull the threads together. But, you know, I guess I could have if I wanted to. I've noticed the opportunity is what I've been doing. Notice the opportunity to let it all unravel. Michael Singer says, if you don't feed that part, if you just keep letting go and don't let it cling, eventually you will fall behind the false solidity. So that's the task. Let go of the shore. Welcome the free falling. And as he says here, I am no longer willing to put energy into building and solidifying my facade, and to permit everything to act as the dynamite to break up and free me. You know, people talk about being free from bondage. What bondage are we talking about? We're talking about the bondage that I built, the bondage of that model, the bondage of the limitations that I would place on the self. It's crazy. So, I appreciate the opportunity to share with you guys my journey into the unknown. And I'll let you know how it looks as we go along. So really, that's all I have to say. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you. And I'm going to let go of the mic and let Lynn play a song for meditation and contemplation. If you'd like, please take this opportunity to donate to Awakening Together. We appreciate your support. Letting go of the mic.
If I had wings, no one. one would ask me, should I fly? The bird sings, no one asks why. I can see in myself wings as I feel them. If you see something else, keep your thoughts to yourself. I'll fly free then. Yesterday's eyes see their colors fading away. They see their sun turning to gray. You can't share in a dream that you don't believe in. If you say that you see and pretend to be me, you won't be then. How can you ask if I'm happy going my way? You might as well ask a child at play. There's no need to discuss or understand me. I won't ask of myself to become something else. I'll just be me. If I had wings, no one would ask me, should I fly? The bird sings and no one asks her why. I can see in myself wings as I feel them. If you see something else, keep your thoughts to yourself. I'll fly free then.
All right, let's see. Do I have the mic? I do. This is the portion of our gathering where you guys have an opportunity to share. Just raise your hand or type the word hand, and we'll release the mic to you. Jay, please take the mic.
Wow, Jacqueline, I didn't really know the full story, so that's pretty powerful that you've made the decision and you're doing this like this, and that's a lot of faith. So I just wanted to say that I really appreciate that, because I've been thinking about moving to Pueblo myself, and I felt a calling to do that, and this was really a sign for me that was pretty. Pretty strong, and it's just interesting how in my life here, one thing after another, seemingly all on its own, is kind of wrapping up. I was kind of wondering why that was occurring, and you know, it's interesting how life unfolds, like how Regina was reading. You know, in most of my life, ever since I've been about 24 years old, has really been spent moving around. You know, as most of you know, I was in a school of metaphysics where I taught and directed in these different metaphysical centers around the Midwest mostly. And that's kind of how I've spent my life. You know, I moved around every 2 to 3 years, just going wherever spirit called me to go. When I moved to Chicago and left, the organization after I received my degree and just felt that it was time to move on, you know, I met Regina and got involved in these teachings, and my sort of moving around time in my life stopped. And I've been here for the longest I've ever been in a city in my whole life, since I grew up in the city I was born in Omaha. And it's interesting how, you know, I'm feeling this call to go to Pueblo on faith. But for me, it's a little more like something I'm used to, that I've done it a bunch of times. But what's interesting is it's bringing up different things in me this time And maybe it's because when I was through most of my life, I didn't earn a lot of money during that time. I was mostly just focused on, service for the most part. I was kind of financially a little bit dependent on that organization, right? And so this time in my life, I'm actually independent financially, but it's almost like I'm doing it more out of my will. Like I'm demonstrating more real faith. Like there's more on the line. Like I don't have an organization where what I did is I lived in these centers. I would move in, I'd have a bedroom and a room provided and all this stuff, and it would be like a house I would stay in, right? So I didn't have to like worry about or have any concerns about my actual welfare physically, and being in my own not being in a situation like that, it's almost like there's it feels like it's acting on more 100% faith, like everything is going to be thrown to faith, right? So I guess it is a little bit of a greater act of faith for me to do this time versus other times in my life where I've quote unquote moved because I've there was a calling or whatever. It just feels really strong right now, like very clear. It feels different than it has in the past. Other moves I've made for like, I guess I don't even know if I can say it's similar. I think this is unique. I don't have a definition for it. It just feels like I'm supposed to do this, and I want to. And I love Regina and Jacqueline very much, and everyone. And I just feel like it's so rare to find people that are truly genuine. I mean, that was always kind of a complaint I had being a part of the organization that I was in. It was hard to find people that had a true, genuine passion for awakening. It was like, it seemed like for most people, it was just mostly ego. And I kept, wanting to be around people that were on the more serious side of really devoting their lives to this. And it is kind of hard to find people like that. They're not just out there running around everywhere. So, I'm really grateful for, Regina and Jacqueline and Ken. And Ken made a great act of faith with Rebecca moving out there. And, I hope more people do that too. That would be really awesome. So, giving up the mic.
Thank you, Jay, for sharing. come on out. Several of us have said it. Yeah, into the mystery. Okay, Regina, please take the mic.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I just want to say that I went over to Jacqueline's house yesterday for the first time since she's moved in it. I was taking care of it from the time that she bought it till she moved in. But, it's just so sweet and so perfect. It just felt so right. I can't tell you how right it feels. I don't know what all is going to happen next, but, there's a rightness about it. What I also want to say is, as you all know, I quit my job and I moved to North Carolina, and that was scary as crap. I think at that time I had $50,000 in the bank, and I had no money coming in at all. And so what I did was I lived off of that savings. I was terrified because all my life I've been putting money in savings. And now I was living off of it and watching the amount go down. But it's funny because there was something there, and the fact that I was still terrified, it didn't matter. But when it came time to move to Pueblo, that was a little different because when the dream came that told me to move to Pueblo, of that 50,000, there was 10,000 left. And I've moved before. So I knew that it would cost about $10,000 to move, which meant I would get to Pueblo and I would be broke. This was after having lived on faith in North Carolina for about 4 or 5 years. 4 years I lived there. And I remember I got really, really, I don't know how else to say it, pissed at God. And that's how I felt. I was just pissed. I was pissed that I had, you know, done so much on faith. I'd given up my job. I had moved. I had, you know, written in TI and allowed that to be published in the way that it was published. And, you know, spent all that time with Laurent going through the purification phase. I just had done so much. And now I'm being asked to do this. You know, to take my last little remaining shred of security and move off to, you know, the desert. And I remember I went out into my car and I listened to the Garden of Gethsemane song from Jesus Christ Superstar probably 20 or more times. I just kept looping that song because in that song, Jesus is mad just like I was mad. It was like that exact same quality of anger. And I just kept listening, but the reason I was listening was to allow the anger to arise and leave, you know, and I just kept listening and listening and listening. And it seems to me that it was a rainy day, but I don't know that for sure. But the car I had at the time had a like a sunroof, and above me was a tree. And in that tree, there was this squirrel. And what I noticed while I'm sitting there being angry at God and listening to this song was I noticed the squirrel was doing, it was really very strange behavior. He was breaking off the twigs from the tree and they were falling down on my car. And I kind of noticed this, but I didn't really pay that much attention because I was caught up in watching my anger and all of that, noticing it and letting it leave me. And again, I was out in the car, I mean, hours, I don't know how many hours. But when the whole thing was over and it really felt like it was over and that I was now just going to say yes, and I was going to take these steps and whatever happened, happened, you know, when I was through with the anger, kind of like Jesus surrenders at the end of the song, right? I'm laughing at Lynn's comment. although, you know, at the end, Jesus surrenders in the same way. So I was ready, fully ready for that surrender, you know, not my will, but thy will. And I was completely willing. And, you know, here I go. I looked up and above my car where I hadn't been able to see the sky because the tree covered it and also where I think there had been rain and clouds. Now the squirrel, I swear, had made this perfect circle right above my sunroof where I could see right through the tree to what was now blue sky. And I'll never forget that. I thought that was the oddest thing, you know, like I had somehow move through something that, again, I had partially moved through, obviously, when I moved to North Carolina. But I hadn't completely moved through, maybe because of that $50,000, because there was at least some security, right? And now when that last $10,000 was going to be used up in a move and there was no security, you know, I guess I might have finished moving through it. And there was just this blue sky right above me where there had been clouds and a tree. So it was amazing. And after that, I never experienced any more fear regarding this particular move. After that, I just everything happened. You know, you do what you got to do. You get a realtor. I got the house painted. You know, it was moving through the motions. And there was no idea of what to expect when I got here. At all. People kept asking me, what are you going to do when you get there? And I had no idea. There was no vision of other people moving here at that time, no vision of awakening together. You know, I didn't even know while I was coming, right? But it was all, I was able to do it all just in peace, just watching, comfortable in the not knowing after that 2 to 3 hours in the car. So thought I would share that. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, that's an awesome story, Regina. Thank you for sharing it. I had a similar experience years ago where, you know, ended a marriage, sold the house, left the job. But it was, you know, like with yours, it was a partial move in this direction. So, at any rate, yeah, it's like. the undoing continues. So thank you for sharing, Regina. And Joanne, please take the mic.
Hi, hello everybody. I hope you guys can hear me. I haven't talked on this little tablet in a while. I can relate to a lot of what you said, Jacqueline. It's very interesting. I'm at the put the house on the market phase. My mom's been gone for a little over a year now, and I had this delusion that when she passed, everything would just magically fall into place, and all my problems that I, you know, logistic problems would be gone. And, you know, it's so funny because you sit here in grief and you realize that it's you, you know what I mean? It's actually me that's the cause of most of the issues. But anyways, that's a story for another day. But at the point now where my house is very close to me getting ready to go on the market, I called a realtor and he said to me, well, the market's bad, and he tried to talk me out of it. You know, he doesn't want me to sell my house. He thinks I should stay in my house. Why he thinks that, I don't know, but it's beyond me. I'm going to be probably coming out to Colorado. I have a lot of different stops I want to make, probably in August. It was going to be July, but I love Colorado, too, even if it's just to visit. But I'm kind of rambling, but some of what you said about the not wanting to go back to the old Jacqueline, I can relate to that. I find myself just not wanting to do the things that are like seem to be set forth like patterns in my life, and I find myself kind of alone. You know, the appearance of being alone, but knowing that it's a really, really, really strong growth period for me, and it's like a metamorphosis. I'm going through a huge transition, and I just appreciate your being so brave and talking about it, and you know, just know that you're not alone. There's a whole bunch of us that are doing the same thing, and maybe I'll visit with you guys when I come out this summer, and thanks for being there. That's all. Have a good day.
Thank you, Joanne, for sharing. We'd love to see you out here. Come on out. That invitation goes to everybody. that is the conclusion of our service. I have asked Lynn to play a specific song to take us out. I know that might cut into your time, Ken. I hope that's okay. And I really want to express my gratitude for the opportunity to just share with you guys and just be with you guys and just, you know, to live it all together. Amen. So thanks, Ken. Okay. Bye, everybody. Lynn, the mic's yours.
So many storms, we must rise above. spirit calling as it's carried across the rain. You're already falling, it's calling you back to face the music and the song that is coming through. You're already promise, take a vow, and trust your feelings, it's easy now. Understand the voice within, and feel a change already beginning. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? And your back up against the past.